Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace, family. We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum. Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back again for another week, hopefully to share with the family. This is Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. You dig? So we got a great show lined up for y'all today. As always, you know, Collective Minds is not a spectator sport, so please hit us up once we start building on the topic. But before we get started, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, how was y'all week, and do y'all have any announcements for us?
I had a very busy week. Thankful for my week. One announcement, I'd just like to congratulate my baby girl. We had a great recital that she debuted some original songs that she wrote, and she had a recital and performed it today for the first time. So I'd like to congratulate her on that. And
that's right.
And it was nice. I'm proud of my baby girl, so I'd like to throw that out there. But other than that, no other announcement.
Okay, no doubt. Brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And do you have any announcements, or do you have any announcements for us? Brother Mufasa, you there? We can hear you now, loud and clear.
I want to double down on Sister Rigel and congratulate Abby on putting it down on them keys. Hopefully she continue to grow and blossom into, you know, the little Beethoven we know she is. And I had a good week. Everything was peaceful. I'm highly favored, highly blessed. So all is well. No announcement.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Same old. So I'm gonna hit it with the trifecta. I want to say congratulations, to Abby on the recital. And also for, you know, creating and composing those three songs. You know, that is amazing for somebody her age. So, you know, we like to call that she's a young prodigy. You know what I'm saying? She's writing music and performing it, able to memorize it in her head. So all those attributes, that's amazing. So congratulations to her. Shout out. And, like I always tell her and my kids, you know, the key in this world is actually creating something, you know, that you can give back to people. And if we look at who actually makes the most money out here and who live the life that they want to live, is usually people that create something and able to share it with other people. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she's one of them keys. she unlocked one of them keys, and, you know, hopefully she keeps it going, you know what I'm saying? So congratulations and shout out to her for that. Also, just to follow up, you know, last week we did the show on coronavirus, but man, it's been another roller coaster week, you know, as far as coronavirus. I mean, Washington State then issued a state of emergency. You know, it's been a lot of cases in Italy that's been going on. They say it's a cruise ship that's planned to dock in Oakland that everybody on the ship, they say, is going to have to be quarantined. You know, I think it's about 4,000 or so, give or take, about 4,000 people on this cruise ship. And they say everybody going to have to get tested before they get off. And if they show any signs of a positive test, they're going to have to be quarantined and sent to a military base. So now the death toll is up to, I believe, 19 people in the U.S. and around about 400 cases nationwide. So, yeah, it's getting serious as far as the hype and the media and how they're treating this thing. So, yeah, you know, we talked about it last week, but you really got to take those precautions and do your due diligence to avoid, you know, crowded places, they say. Wash your hands and take those hygiene measures so you don't get infected with the coronavirus, because they turn in the fear mongering up. Yeah, yeah.
Close
but,
the
like,
border.
I still stick with what I was saying should've last week.
Closed.
I think. Right. I think it's, you know, they should take these preventative measures, but I think the hysteria and the hype around it is really causing people to panic. And now it seems like as the weeks go on, it's just getting more and more, you know, hysteria, more and more panic goes into this as more people die and more people get infected. But like I say, when you look at the total number of people and people that die from the flu and other diseases, this is kind of small in comparison. But again, they're going to keep the hype up, keep the fear going, and, you know, you just got to do what you got to do to survive. And I think another interesting thing that I've been noticing and I've been kind of hearing is they're saying that black people are not really affected by the coronavirus. Now, have y'all heard this? They say the people, there's a couple people that got affected in Africa, but they weren't even black. It was an Italian man, I believe, and an Asian man. But for the most part, it's been Asians and Europeans, or so-called Caucasians, that's really been getting it. So I think that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. But apparently so far, it's like the melanin is immune to the coronavirus. Are we able to, you know, able to manage it and stay alive? You know what I'm saying? So I find that interesting, but, you know, it'll be more to come on that. You dig? It'll be more to come. Trust me.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I thought I had mentioned that last week. That
you might have,
That this could be you know, I didn't go into full details on it. Because, you know, and I still don't. It's some things I want to say about that, but I'm not. I'm just gonna let that go.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I kinda, you know, I just chilling because I gotta think I know where you're going, but I understand most definitely. So it'll be more to come on that. You know, we'll see how this thing play out this year, and you know, we'll take it from there. But without further ado, Collective Minds Radio, I'm Cosmic Kid. We got Brother Mufasa Rock Queen Rigel. And today we are talking about the execution of Nathaniel Woods that happened this past week. It popped up on my radar this week, which I think that's a travesty within itself. Like, I just heard about this case this past week. But we're talking about his execution, you know, was he wrongly convicted? and, you know, how do you feel about him being convicted? So I guess before we get into it, Brother Mufasa, do you kind of want to go in and give people like a backdrop of the story just in case they never heard of this particular case? You kind of want to go into it.
Give me a second. I got to go. You caught me off guard there. Let me go get my note.
Okay. Well, no. I can kind of go into it real quick. And then you know, correct me if I say something wrong, because I know you had you kind of brought this to my attention, and I, you know, did a little research on it. So
yeah,
Nathaniel
actually,
Wood.
Well, no, actually, that was Rigel. You make it all the way correct.
Okay.
Rigel hit us up with that. Let's see. That was, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, she made us aware of that story Thursday morning.
And
okay,
I was intrigued
you.
Because basically I was trying to figure out how is it that a man is on death row, has been on death row since 2004. And
right.
You know, because of the circumstances of the case, he wasn't the trigger man. You know, to be quick, apparently they was coming to serve him for a misdemeanor warrant. And in the melee, I believe it's conflicting stories about this, too. This is another reason why I fear the man shouldn't have been executed. But some stories say there was some type of dispute, the man. He got maced. I'm talking about Nathaniel Woods. He got maced, and he was surrendering. Another man that was in the house attacked three out of the four officers. I take it back. It was four officers. Three was murdered. One was shot, believed. And so, when I read the story, I was like, man, how you gonna convict this man of capital murder when he didn't pull the trigger? The gunman said that the man, talking about Nathaniel Woods, didn't pull the trigger. So I didn't understand how you're going to convict this man in death row, and you murdered him before the gunman. You know, so it's a lot of
right.
stories about exactly what happened, what took place. But the gist of it was they were serving him for a misdemeanor warrant. Another person that was in the home shot four officers, three of them dying, and they convicted both of them with capital murder, put them both on death row. And like I say, even though there's conflicting stories over it, for whatever reason, the governor didn't want to execute a stay on the matter and was in a rush to go ahead and execute this man. So we basically all just had like 24 hours to try to process at that time what was going on. A couple of civil rights advocates, entertainers was trying to hurry up and jump on the story and help get this man a grant of stay, but it never happened. The governor wouldn't bend on it, and then that puzzles me in why we had to move so fast on this case. But yeah, that's a quick backdrop to it.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so he was, you know, he wasn't the actual trigger man that killed the officers. However, they say he was an accomplice, you know, and led the officers into an ambush. If you can mute your line, I'm hearing background noise, brother. Yeah, so according to this, it says, under Alabama law, someone who helps kill a police officer is just as guilty as the person who directly commits the crime, the governor K. Ivey said in the statement following the execution. Since 1983, Alabama has executed two individuals for being an accomplice in capital murder. And what they call capital murder is the killing of those police officers, though they're saying that Nathaniel Woods was an accomplice. So, but yeah, I mean, I just think it's a travesty that he was executed before the Trigger Man. Like, how does that work? You know, but I digress for right now. I'll go into it here in a minute. But we'll let Queen Raiju share her thoughts on this case. You know, and what do you think about the execution of Nathaniel Woods? Do you think it was justified? They say it's a part of Alabama law. But, you know, what are your overall thoughts on the execution of Nathaniel Woods?
Yeah, let us know how you even came across it. Because you was, like I say, you was the one that sent it to us. So just let us know how you even came across it. Because honestly, without you sending it, we may not even have known about it until that the man was dead. I'm talking about me and Brother Kev.
Yeah, it came up on my timeline that morning. And like you, I felt the same way. Like, how could something like this just now find out about it just hours before the man is scheduled to die? You know, that is that's crazy. I don't even understand how that would happen. It's like I don't even understand that. You know. And the fact that so many people got behind it in that little bit of time, it's just an interesting situation to me. You know, just hours before, it just came across my timeline like a lot of other things, and I clicked on it to see what was going on because of the caption, and I sent it to you guys because I thought it was very interesting. I'm like, wow. This man didn't do the killing, and the story that I heard. And then another ironic thing was, it just goes to show how it was new to so many people, because even shortly after I sent it to you guys, then I hear it on the radio. They were talking about it on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. So I'm like, okay, so wow, this is just interesting how everybody's now starting to talk about something. And the man is scheduled to die just hours from now. You know, the story that I heard, I've heard two slightly different stories, and depending on which side you're on, you know, it's going to determine how you paint the picture. So the first story that I heard was coming from one of the, from the legal side of Mr. Woods and his family members. And he basically said, like, Mufasa had already mentioned, that the young man was being served for a misdemeanor. And when the police officer showed up at his home, and they instantly sprayed him, you know, and his eyes were mace. He's
right.
Being a little,
right.
you know, discombobulated by the mace spray. They said that he, you know, ran out the back of the house, and he sat in the back on the stoop in the back of his house on something else, something near his home, I think, like outside of his where his property would be, and that's where he stayed until they came to get him. But after he ran out, the police officer who maced him was shot by the other guy that was in the home, his roommate, which I can't think of his name right now, but his roommate shot the police officer.
Kerry Spencer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when the other officers heard the gunshot, they came inside the home, and then he shot them too. Now, if they was coming to serve him for something that was just a misdemeanor, they really came deep. Now, I guess this kind of going to the second story that I heard, because the second side of the story came from the young man, A.B., I believe his name is, Mufasa sent us that video. Now, he's painting the picture differently. You know, he's saying that they had been to his house several times. It was this dope house and all that, and it may have been.
Right.
But like I said, depending on which side of the picture the fence you're on is going to determine how you actually paint the picture. But nevertheless, he didn't shoot him. He wasn't in the house. The young man said that he did this on his own. They didn't plot anything. So therefore, whether you believe they're lying or not, if you don't have any proof or evidence to prove that they're lying, and you just have a hunch that they're lying, you can't go. I don't think it's fair to just convict somebody off the hunch. What do your evidence say? What do your proof say? You have the man, the gunman, who said, "Hey, I did this, and I did it alone. He wasn't in here."
Right.
They know that he not.
Okay.
Now they do know that he wasn't in there, and they do know that he didn't shoot him, and they do know that they have a confession by another man. So with those three facts alone, he should have not been executed. Just with those, forget what your hunch is, forget what you believe and all that. It's not what you can believe, it's what you can prove. And if you cannot prove that this man had anything to do with it, then he should not have even been executed. And the fact that they chose to execute him first is very puzzling to me. That's very interesting. I would love to hear why it is that they would choose to execute the man who is saying he did not do it, the one who didn't do it, versus the man who said, "Yeah, I did it."
Pulled the trigger.
Why not? If you're gonna execute anyone, why not execute the person who admitted to doing it first? When you know that there's a controversy and it's about this other guy, you know it's people fighting on his behalf to prove that you are wrongfully convicting this young man. Why not give him a fair chance? You know, why? I just hate that they're just so quick to discount his life as if it's nothing. You are killing a man. You are actually taking a person's life. You can't bring him back. If you decide to say, "Oh, man, you know, I'm sorry," or "I shouldn't have done that," you can't bring him back. So it's like, why would you make such a solid decision that you can't turn around? When if you want to kill somebody, at least kill the man who said he did it. For one, just for the record, I don't agree with the death penalty. I mean, it would have to be an extreme circumstance that I would, you know, agree with the death penalty. And I'm not saying it applied to this case or not, but just overall, I don't agree with the death penalty under just extreme. It had to be extreme measures, but so that's really how I feel. I just really hate that, you know, after all these years, 16 years of his family fighting and his sister pushing, that just the last final hours of his death, and they decided, and I say decided, to allow this to go public, because I'm pretty sure she was trying to make it go public before. So I think also even with that, I'm looking at that a little sideways, like something was not bringing this to light, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was also interesting too. So that's pretty much how I see it. You know, I think it's a sickening thing, though, that you know, I think just humanity and just have just such a coldness and a disregard for life, you know. So I just hate that. You know, that it's like that. You know, but that's how I see it. I think.
Go ahead. I mean, cut y'all. Go ahead.
No, I was just wrapping up, just saying. I just think that it's. I just think it's sad. You know, I wish that they would have given him I don't think they should have given him the death penalty. If you want to just hold him in jail until you, you know, maybe really get down to the evidence of it. But for some reason, they just wanted to do it. I think they were just mad and angry. I think they did it out of anger, like a lot of times they do. They make a lot of decisions off anger and just human emotion that had nothing to do with the law. They were mad, like I said before. His grandmother could have been in that same house. They probably would have locked her up too, because they was mad and they wanted to take it out on any and everybody that was even associated with him in that house. So his grandfather and grandmother could have been in there. They would have locked her up and probably put her on death row just because they were mad.
That's
how they react.
Right.
I add to that. You writing exact and everything you just laid out. I wanted to just add that Alabama is the only state that a jury doesn't have to be unanimously doesn't have to be unanimous to impose the death penalty. And the jury, out of the jurors, it was only 10 out of 12 that convicted him. 10 out of 12.
Wow.
The judge is the one that sentenced him that to the death penalty. So who gave him the power, you know? Well, we already know who, but, you know, Alabama need to make some corrections and some things. Because that's 10 out of 12 right there, that's showing, you know, some doubt to me. It wasn't unanimous. So it's ridiculous that you would go ahead and convict this man. And like you said, sentence him to death. We ain't talking about just sitting in jail. We talking about you got this man on death row to kill him. So that's just heartless on their side. That's heartless that they wouldn't sit back and really look at this more and say, wait a minute, hold on, we can prolong this a little bit longer and go over this case a little bit more. Maybe we do need to change this from the death penalty to just life in prison. You know, especially with the claims of all the police corruption and intimidation of witnesses, he had inadequate representation. So it's a lot that's involved in this case that, and, you know, my opinion, the state should have been granted.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yes, indeed, family. If you're just joining to this Collective Minds Radio, I'm Brother Kev. That was just our Brother Mufasa Rai and Queen Raiju. And we are talking about the execution of Nathaniel Woods, who was executed last Thursday in Birmingham, Alabama. Basically, they charged him as being an accomplice to the murder of three police officers. Four were actually shot and three died. And he's been on death row since 2005. We'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. Just bear with us. Now, for me, you know, I think the travesty in this whole thing, like Roger just stated, first off, that we just heard about this case last week. That's crazy. I mean, 2005, we're talking about 15 years. I mean, this should have been, in my opinion, you know, national news in 2006, 2007, 2010. I mean, all the way leading up to the execution, you know, that petition mm-hmm. should have been going around. And it might have been, you know what I'm saying? But for the simple fact that it didn't garner enough momentum and enough attention, I just think that's the real tragedy. You know, nobody cared until the week of this man's execution. Right.
The day, hours before
his execution. Right. And then the other tragedy, of course, is the person who everyone knows did not do the shooting, including, you know, the judges, the lawyers, the actual shooter. You know, everybody has come to an agreement, a consensus, that he was not the shooter. Even the officer that survived said that he was not the shooter. So how does the accomplice, quote-unquote accomplice, get killed before the actual shooter? That is just crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? So those are the two biggest travesties to me. And I think the main thing, what I'm noticing is, you know, we just gotta call a spade a spade. This went down because you have a black man or two black men, and you have three dead white officers. Like, let's not play around with this thing. The officers, I'm not sure what the fourth officer was, but I know the three officers that were killed were white officers. And like Queen Roger said, I think they were trying to send a message. You know, they wanted to send, you know, a harsh message to people as far as, you know, retaliating and killing the police. And, you know, Nathaniel Woods was the perfect sacrifice for that to go down. Now, because we got to look at the discrepancies in the stories.
It's called buck breaking, brother.
Most definitely. It's called bug breaking. So some of the reports, like I think Roger kind of touched on this as well, some of the reports are saying that they went to serve a warrant, and let's keep in mind, it was a misdemeanor warrant, so, you know, let's be for real. So according to the officer that survived, they're calling this a drug house. Now, we don't know if that's the case, but I've seen, you know, in my little research, I've seen a few media outlets say that they were serving a drug house. Who knows? They could be lying. That, I mean, I'm just skeptical and putting it out there that I'm skeptical of that information until I hear some more information, because this could have been this man's house, right? We don't know if it's a drug house for sure. The other thing they were saying is Woods was yelling obscenities at the officers. Again, keep in mind, this is according, right, this is according to the officer who was shot and survived. So who knows what type of motive he may have. You know, we know officers lie a lot. So it's like, you know, who knows if those stories are correct. The only thing we do know is they went to serve a misdemeanor warrant. And Kerry Spencer was the shooter of the four officers and killed three. And we know that Nathaniel was not the shooter. He was not even around when the shooting took place, because according to the report, I think he ran out the back door or ran somewhere. So, you know, so those are the facts. So any of that extra stuff that people are putting on it, oh, it was a crack house and they had problems before and he was yelling at the police officer, he slammed the door on him, and all the little extra stuff they're adding, that's neither here nor there, because we don't know if that information is accurate. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm at with it. And we also got to keep in mind that Alabama is a state where there's already been 8 men who have been freed off of death row after being on death row due to, you know, them finding new evidence. So there's a state there. So we're talking about a state that has had men on death row who were not supposed to be on death row, that they had to turn around and free them from death row due to some errors that they made. So, you know, with all that being said, we have to keep all that stuff in mind. Alabama is one of them states where, you know, they will try to make an example out of you. You know, there were 3 officers who died, and they were looking to put anybody within the vicinity on the on death row or give them the death sentence. And because they were serving the warrants, the misdemeanor warrants to Nathaniel Woods, and the officers ended up getting killed in that particular residence, then they charged him as an accomplice. And according to Alabama law, if you're an accomplice to, you know, capital murder, you get the same punishment as the actual shooters.
Yeah, that's fine. Nobody's mad about that if you are. But he's not. You know
what
I'm saying?
Right.
So,
but he's not, exactly.
Exactly. So
but
they keep
not.
Saying that. You know, I hear people keep saying that, like the one video that Mufasa sent us. But who cares? Nobody disputing that. I don't even think he should even brought that up. But it's like, yeah, if you are, then okay, then let's see.
You're actually accomplice, right?
Right.
Yeah. If you're actually accomplice, but he was not. Yeah, he wasn't an accomplice.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's one of those things where it's a rule that people should get familiar with, and it's called I'm white and I say so. I learned that from Neely Fuller, right? It's called I'm white and I say so, meaning no matter what the law says, I'm white and I can say whatever I want to say. And I can make it true. I can make it the law. I can make it stick. I can make it on the books. And this was a case of that. This is a case of I'm white and I say so. Basically, I don't care what you say. I know he's not an accomplice, but he's going to be on death row. He's going to jail, and he's going to be on death row and get executed because I say so. And that's basically what it came down to. Even the governor, of course, we know the governor has the right to pardon the person or, you know, give them clemency from death row and all that other type of stuff. She could have did that, whoever this governor is. But she like, no, I'm sticking to it. Like, why would I do that? And then I have all the police officers mad at me, the police unions, and these people probably helped her get elected governor. So, you know, she's not going to turn that back. But it's like, come on, right is right, wrong is wrong. You know, if the man was an actual accomplice to the murder, then, you know, you roll with that. But for this to happen, it's just, you know, I just find that crazy. So,
the fact that the actual gunman says that I did it and I acted alone, that squashes everything. That squashes everything. Now, if they get ready to say that they have some hardcore evidence to show that he was just lying and he just taking a fall and all that, then that's another thing. But they don't have that. They would have said it. They just going off just a hunch because they really just mad. They was mad because three officers were shot and killed. That would anger anybody.
Right.
So I don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that they was mad about that. If anybody get killed, somebody in most cases, 9 times out of 10, is going to be mad about it. Somebody.
Right.
And if you have three officers, it's not like we're talking about just some homeless people or some people that don't nobody know. We're talking about working folks and men and police officers.
Right.
You know, you have, there's going to be a lot of people that is saddened and hurt and upset about their death if they were actually killed. We ain't talking about just in no accident, but we're talking about somebody killed them. So you know that is going to be a lot of emotion and anger in people. And these officers and these people that's around them, they were mad and they were angry, and this is what they are responding off their anger. This ain't got nothing to do with the law. They threw all that away, and they dealing with their emotions and how they feel. They want revenge, and this is their way of getting revenge, and they're twisting the law to justify their revenge.
Yeah, right.
And
it's terrible.
Yeah. You know what? I want to, and trust me, this is not to take off of what y'all just said, neither, but because the justice system is so twisted, I did want to add in that I sent y'all a story a couple weeks ago about, and it was a white guy who was doing a life in prison for marijuana, and he had did like a little over 20 years, and the prosecutor who sent him to prison finally was like, man, he served long enough, and he was an advocate to try to get him out. Well, this man had did, I think, end up doing, like, he was sentenced to life, and he ended up doing, like, I think, 24, 25 years for some marijuana. You know, it's crazy. It's ridiculous out here, you know. And I know I got a friend of mine who's doing 30 years right now for a crime that he didn't commit. You know, off of some he say, she say, that, yeah, some people came out and said, yeah, that was him. But that was it. No other evidence. Yeah, that was him. And he gets 35 years. You know, so it's a shame that it comes down to, if you don't have the right representation, if you can't afford a good lawyer, you get railroaded.
Right.
You get railroaded. Because they don't care about, you know, especially poor people. Not only black people's lives, but they don't care about poor people's lives. You know, you poor, who cares about you? You're meaningless.
Yeah, it's basically a crime to be poor in this country. You know, we've seen it progress over the years, but basically it's a crime to be poor. And a lot of our prisons are what you call debtor's prison. Meaning, like you say, they couldn't afford the right counsel, they couldn't afford the right representation, and that's why they're behind bars. A lot of people, as far as these jails and county jails, a lot of people, you know, couldn't pay these tickets. The tickets went to warrants. They couldn't pay the warrants. The warrants led to others, and they just ended up in jail or in the county, you know. So, you know, that's the system we working with. So, my new thing is, so how, you know, since we know this is a system, how are we going to respond to the system? You know, because it seems to me that we need to make some adjustments. Even with this case, you know, and we'll get to the call lines here in a second, family. But even with this case, I was really kind of reluctant to give it my energy because it was one of those cases where it was like, damn, this is a straight travesty. Like, how could this happen? And I didn't want to get sucked in too much emotionally because I'm like, well, hell, this has been happening. I know at least since I've been born, black men have been wrongly convicted, wrongly accused. I mean, you know, it's been happening to other folks as well, but I'm saying the majority of people who have been wrongly convicted and incarcerated under mass incarceration and things like that have been black men. So it's been happening a long time. This is not, you know, the first case, and it probably won't be the last of somebody who is wrongly on death row. You know, we see cases every day where people are being freed because of DNA evidence coming out, and they've been spent 15, 20, 30 years in jail, and now since they got the DNA test, and they're able to go free. So, you know, I'm just like, you know, where are we at this point? Like, how are we going to respond? Because we know these things have been going on. They've been going on forever, and I didn't want to get too emotionally attached to this case because I'm trying to preserve, you know, that good energy. You know, heading into 2020, I'm like, we know what it is. We know how the system acts. And I don't want to give it that emotional attachment to just drain me because reading these stories and things like this can be draining on me. You know what I'm saying? It can be draining emotionally because it's like, how could this happen? But then you got to go back and think. You know what I'm saying? We got to go back and think. This has been happening every few years or every year, months or so, these cases come up. You see somebody getting beat by the police. You see somebody, you know, all these things to remind us, quote unquote, of our position as second class citizens in this society. At one point do we just make the adjustments? You know, if that makes sense. I don't know if y'all want to respond, but do that make sense to y'all?
I'll make a real quick response. You know, because, you know, we was joking with each other about the story, about doing it. And, you know, but I get what you're saying about that, about it draining energy, but we have to make people aware of this story. Just on the simple fact of how Raju came across it, and he gave it to us, you know, in a matter of a day. So the goal is for us to do our part to get awareness out. People who's listening, do the same and get the awareness out that these type of things go on in the criminal justice system. You've got to make people aware of what's going on so people can hopefully get fed up enough to want to do something.
Right, but now that's the other question, but don't you think people know what's going on? Like this man, he's been on death row since 2005, so people know the injustices of the justice, you know, how the system is? I think they do.
Not enough, because like I say, just like we didn't know about this story. Y'all didn't know about the man with the marijuana story. You two knew about my friend's situation. But overall, people just hear a little bit to this information. And to me, it's almost like people never really take it in until it's one of their family members or them that's going through it. They just kind of just, you know, go through life thinking it's roses and bubbles and don't really be paying attention to things until, bam, they get slapped and hemmed up in a situation. Because, like I said, just like with this story, that's ridiculous that this should have been talked about from 2005 up until now. People should have been knew about this, but we just getting it
exactly.
at the last minute. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Ridiculous. Yes, indeed. Let's get to the call lines. But first, family, if you're just joining us, that was our brother Mufasa Ra, Cosmic Kev, and we have Queen Raja on the line. We are talking about the execution of Nathaniel Woods that happened last Thursday. Nathaniel Woods was a brother from Birmingham, Alabama, who everybody involved in the case say he was not the shooter. The actual shooter said he was not an accomplice as well, but he was he was the person that was getting the warrant served, and you know, through all the through the incident, three officers ended up dead, four officers were shot, and he ended up getting convicted and charged with capital murder just as the actual shooter. But like I say, everybody involved in the case said that he was not the shooter. But he ended up getting executed last Thursday, and we're talking about his case. And so give us a call and give us your thoughts. The number is 929-477-1697. Let's hit the call lines.
Okay. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
How are you guys doing today?
Hey, caller, how are
Hello.
You?
Oh, doing well. Peace,
Caller, how are you? Brother.
You know, I hate to see people lose their life. And talking about losing a life, some shootings y'all had in St. Louis. Like the one lady there on Grand Avenue.
Yeah,
there's a video floating around. Have you seen that video? There's a video floating around of that.
And you had the rolling gun battle.
Right.
So let me ask you a question. The guy that shot was shooting at the car whose bullet hit the lady and killed her. The people in the other car, they're going to be charged with felony murder also. The charge is felony murder. Even though they didn't pull the trigger that killed the girl, and even though the guy that was driving the car, he was just driving the car. Actually, he had drivers in both cars. And I don't know, you might have had some more people in the cars. All of them are going to be charged with murder.
Mm.
And rightfully so.
To a certain degree.
Well, no.
Right. To a certain degree.
That's the way the law states. And, you know, felony murder is not the same in every state. All states don't have it. It's an extension to murder.
Right.
And believe it or not, you don't even have to be at the scene to be charged with felony murder in some states. Or
remember now,
you could be
case,
on your...
This case was capital. Yeah, this situation with Nathaniel Woods was capital murder.
Well, still, state felony, felony murder, that's where it applies. Felony murder, like I told you, in every state, it's different. It's just an extension to capital murder. He committed a capital crime against the people of the state. It's not the family, although the family suffers. It's against the people of the state. So, and Mr. Woods, I'm sorry for him, but they say that he lured the police into the house and that the police had been there earlier and he had cussed them out or something.
Yeah, that's what they say. According to the officer who actually survived,
you remember Rap Brown?
Lured,
you remember Rap Brown?
H. Rap Brown. Yeah.
You had two
deputies
come to his house to serve him a warrant. He opens the door with a gun. He kills one and wounds another. Both of them were black, the deputies, by the way. and he hasn't been put to death on that, as far as I understand. I think he's still in jail. I think he's still confined. So tragic as it may be for family.
Well,
of course, the victim's family.
He killed two black deputies too. If they was white, he probably would have been dead by now.
Well, that really because you got whites that get executed because of a felony murder.
Yeah, I mean,
And y'all talk about y'all don't never hear anything. Did you hear about the white prisoner that was found hanged in your jail in St. Louis? I think it might have been over on Hall Street. He was found hanged. Did you hear about that?
Nope.
I did not, but I don't doubt it.
All right.
You know.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Heck, you got whites that get killed and you never hear anything about it. And this happened in Alabama. And that's just those things happen. And the thing that ticks me off with the news, one newspaper wrote and said that the governor is a Republican. Well, what does that got to do with it? The governor don't have anything to do with it, except for he can commute the sentence. But what about Jones, that blacks elected over Moore? For a state senator. I'm sorry, U.S. senator for the state of Alabama. What did he say?
Right. I think it's enough blame to go around because as far as the notoriety of this case, I don't know how long they've been pushing that petition, but, you know, for it to come across our timeline just in the day of, I think was crazy. It's like, I mean, what can you do? That's why I'm like, I don't want to, like, why spend energy on this when it's the night? Like, you literally had 12 hours before this man about to be executed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you know, Kevin, I'm going to tell you something. And y'all know me, I'm pretty hard-nosed. Because I don't been the victim of crime in St. Louis.
Yes, sir. Me as well, bro.
Yes, I can.
And I see this stuff all the time, you know, these carjackings. Brother Metcalf's son got carjacked and killed. He was a coach out there at the, what school is it, Vianney? I can't think of his name.
Yeah. No, he coached at I want to say Lindbergh. Or was it Vianney? It may have been.
Yeah, Vianney is on Lindbergh. Off of
44. Okay. 44, right, okay.
And it goes on and on and on and on. Now it's out in Spanish Lake. Spanish Lake used to be a nice community. Now you have some fool. You got three teenagers walking down the street. Just walking down the street. And somebody going to come out with a gun and shoot them. And, you know, they shot them in the lower extremity. But, you know, that's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And see what that does. That casts a shadow on all black people. Because as I told you before, but it does. Because if you know that the person out here that's shooting folks is a green person, and you green, and everybody else around you are green, well, you're going to have heightened awareness of a green person. I mean, have you noticed people now greeting each other by clapping their feet together rather than shaking their hands because of the coronavirus? You don't know who's got it.
Right. Well, now, my response to that would be, we don't do that with white people, though. When we see white
people. Well, you ain't got no whites in North St. Louis. Wait a minute, man. Ain't no whites in North St. County.
No, I'm not talking about North St. County. I'm talking about when we see a white serial killer on the news, we don't immediately start being cautious around white people when we go out.
Well, it depends on who you are.
For us to see. But I don't think it's fair for us to see some black people committing a crime and then all black people get indicted.
Well,
we don't do that with white people.
Well, black folks even indict all black people that's around them. You don't know. And I mean, like the story out, people used to say there ain't never been no black serial killers. I think I must have put about a dozen of them
and tagged you.
People used to say there wasn't until Muhammad. But no,
well,
I'm
let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because the question is, do you feel that this man was right? I mean, we know what the law is. We know what the law said, all that. But for your own set of morals, do you feel like this man was wrongfully executed?
Well, if it was procedure, I read that some procedures weren't carried out, but they appealed that to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court stayed it for a brief period of time, and several hours later, they dismissed their state. Plus, your jury had black people on it also, so they can't say it was an all-white jury. And Alabama is Alabama, but Alabama is not the only state that has that extension to murder. There's other states that have it, and there are some states who have abandoned
it. Missouri has it, too. Missouri, I believe, has it, too. Say if two people break into a home and the owner of the home shoots one of the people that broke into the house, they charge the one that's living with the murder.
And Woods was a drug dealer. He was selling drugs to people in the community. May have sold some to some kids. You know, I don't know. I don't live in Alabama.
But how do you know?
How do you know that the shooter is telling the truth? Everybody in jail is always innocent.
But do you believe weed is still a federal offense that should be changed, though?
But do you believe that that should be changed? Do you think that they was okay with executing him?
Me, myself, I don't have no problem with it. But if the people of Alabama feel that they want to change it, then they need to change it.
Right.
It has been changed in some other states. But here's the thing.
Right.
The guy that pulled the trigger knew the complications of people being around him. He should have told them that, look, don't be around me. If you get caught, if I'm doing something wrong and you up in it too, you stand a chance. You know, that's the cause and effect. If I got the coronavirus, I ain't going to come up and shake your hand. I'm going to say, Kevin, I'm sick. I ain't going to pass it on to you. Hey, you remember what's that guy, Boss Man McGee? That had HIV. How many women did he affect?
It was a lot.
About 90.
It was a lot.
And he used to hang out at the skating ring, the Skate King, because he was an avid skater. Right. And he used to pull them women like that. Apparently somebody killed him. It might have been a relative of someone that he infected.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think it was her girl brother.
Yeah. So,
we appreciate you.
I like justice, but hey, man, if you out here doing stuff wrong, then why come we can't apply karma to him? Karma's gonna catch up with you. You selling drugs, you gonna be caught up the way this situation. Karma gonna catch up with you. Anyway, y'all go on.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. We appreciate it.
Right on, brother.
Yeah, I mean, yes, indeed. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just for the record,
The Skate King was the first Skate King over in Illinois. It wasn't the one over in St. Louis. I just wanted to say that because I'm going to be throwing a party out there. I don't want anybody being nervous.
Right, okay. Yeah, to throw that in there. Plug. Nice. No, I was going to say in regards to the case, I personally don't really know what type of individual that Nathaniel Woods was. He could have been selling drugs. What type of drugs? I don't know. But I think that's kind of besides the point in this case, because if he's not an actual accomplice in the shooting of these officers, then I don't think he should have been convicted. But it's hard to say what type of background he had, you know what I'm saying, whether he was a good guy or a bad guy or whatever, you know, whatever type of opinion. But I just don't
His warrant was a misdemeanor domestic warrant.
Exactly.
Misdemeanor domestic warrant. was what they would start coming to serve him with. So,
right.
I mean, come on.
And they're not charging him for being a drug dealer. So apparently,
exactly.
That's
not part of it. Exactly.
Right. They're not charging him for being a goon out in these streets
right.
like that. So all
right.
background and his backdrop and all that of what he the type of person that he was is really not what he's getting killed for. They say
what
he was
getting,
they
yeah,
killed
exactly.
him because he helped another person kill three other officers. That's why he was convicted. So
exactly,
not,
and this and that's
what,
is what I'm saying.
Person, it don't matter.
So they remember. We're dealing with a media that throws those things in there to further criminalize the person. I mean, we've seen it with everybody that's been, you know, executed by police. What do? Oh, he was selling illegal cigarettes. Oh, he was a thug. Oh, he smoked weed in the ninth grade. Oh, he did this. So they put these things out to further criminalize you. That way, when they go through with the conviction or the execution, you don't really have anyone, you know what I mean? People not saying nothing until the day of, you know what I'm saying? Because they already think, oh, he was a drug dealer. He cussed out police. He slammed the door on the police. He threw feces in their face. Like, they be saying all type of things to justify harming you. You dig what I'm saying? So we don't know what type of felon Nathaniel was. You dig what I'm saying? But the point is, if they all agree that he was not the shooter, then why is this man getting convicted? You know, but
yeah, we can go into more about
actually getting killed.
Right, because not
yeah,
only
let's
did
grab
it, and
take
and
these
it,
calls out, y'all.
Okay, we'll
yeah.
take a call, but really quick, it ain't even just about him not being the shooter, because the last caller made a good point. And we have all heard cases like that. If you're in the car, someone do a drive-by, you get charged.
Yeah.
I personally, you know, depending on certain circumstances, I'm not so for against that, so per se.
Right,
but
exactly.
The key for me is that the shooter said he didn't have nothing to do with it. I did this by myself. So, therefore, the accomplice thing is out the window. So
exactly.
It ain't even about him being a shooter, not a shooter. It's him. The shooter said he didn't do this with me. I did this. I acted on my own. So the accomplice thing should be gone. So I just want to throw that out there. Okay, we get to the calls. Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Oh, hold on a second.
Peace.
Calling on with Collective
hey,
Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace. Oh, maybe they just listening.
Okay.
Because they're there to pick
okay.
you up.
There you go.
Caller, we hear you.
But at the
yeah,
same
you
time.
Start over. Carly, you got to start over. We didn't hear you. Start over.
Yeah,
hold
on.
I said
kind of broke
the cops were there for him for the get-go, period. They got caught trying to arrest him, and they were killed. So the reason why they probably got him on it because he was the reason they were there. And they died in the process of arresting him.
That was that first.
But at the same time, he should not have been executed before the gunman.
Exactly.
And is
exactly.
that fair? And is that fair that if we go off what you're saying, your assessment, is that fair that they would they do that to that man just because they were there to serve him a misdemeanor? Serve him on a misdemeanor domestic warrant. Is that fair? That they escalate that from misdemeanor domestic warrant to now capital murder? Is that fair?
Well, they could have made it more simple by just catching him when he walked out the house. They didn't have to go in the house. Oh, Oh, and then they said that there's been a rain of cops that's been going around and robbing the dope houses. So we got to throw that in there too, because we don't know what the true intentions was behind all that, because they did, because in some of my stuff I seen is they said that the cops were known for robbing the dope houses.
Exactly.
Even with that, that shooter said he acted alone. So even with that, even if they was coming to rob him and the shooter executed them cops, that's still between him and the police. That's not fair that they would include this man in those charges. That's not fair.
But like I told you earlier about a case that happened up here where a dude got sentenced to 15 years just because he might have or maybe known something, and he got more time than the killer. Because he may have or might have known something and didn't say nothing.
Now see, that's
and he's
another
doing 15
story.
Years. The killer doing and about what? Probably 10?
And that's another story that we don't know nothing about. That we don't know nothing about. See, that's what I was saying, Kev. This stuff is happening across the country. And people, the masses of people, the people that care, you know, it goes unchecked and we're unaware of these things. You know, then we just get comfortable because only a few of us hear about it, and we be like, man, what else we could do? And we just fall back. But that's not right.
But that's basically like we hanging out, and I see someone I don't like it. I look at you, man, one of these days I'm going to kill that fool. And then I end up killing that fool, and then now you going to prison just because I said something to you, and you didn't snitch me out. So... That makes you an accomplice because you knew and you didn't say nothing. Even though it was the same situation up here, the guys that actually did the killing and all that was like, we don't know what you got this dude for. He ain't with us. He didn't do it with us. We we such and such gang. We do for such and such. We ain't got nothing to do with him. He ain't had nothing to do with it, and he's still doing time. He still got 15 years. And the gunman was like, hey, he ain't had nothing to do with nothing. So it happens. So like you said, it happens all over. And it happens a lot to black people because black people, or I should say poor people, because poor people cannot pay for adequate defense. We can't get the Harvey Weinstein lawyers and stuff like that. So we get a lawyer who is so overwhelmed with cases because the cases here are so backed up that there's a clog in our system up here. So you get a lawyer who's overwhelmed with everybody else's cases. He can't even keep up. He getting assigned more cases every day. So
he ain't got time to really fight for your case hard.
Yeah. So the first plea deal, they come around, they say, hey, take it. Or they gonna do this to you. Here they said that the county that I stay in, Des Moines County, Iowa, does things different than any other county in Iowa. As in, they will wait till the last minute to give you your plea deal, because at this moment, if you don't take that plea deal, they've already got a slam dunk case, and they're gonna throw the book at you. And that's how they get you here.
Either
plea out or do more time, because we're already going to find you guilty. They need to change things down there that the judge cannot overrule the jury, because that's what that case was. Two people said no, it should have been retried. The judge said no, forget you two, what you say. I want them dead.
Yeah.
And that's how that went down too. But I'm gonna let you get to the next caller.
Okay. All right, we appreciate that. Yeah, great point. If you're just joining us, family, We down inside the last half hour of the show. This is Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about the execution of Nathaniel Woods last Thursday. You know, do you think the execution was justified? Give us your thoughts. The number is 929-477-1697. Let's hit the call line.
Okay, area code 314-361. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I'm just commenting on the man that was executed. There's one thing on what everybody's been saying, but it's one point that everybody is overlooking. The point that everybody is overlooking is look at the state that it happened in. This is Alabama. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Alabama. If you do historical research, when you get down anywhere low Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, parts of that, not being trying to throw the race card, but you getting in some of the backwoods of some of the most KK area in the United States. And I went through that one year, saw a car show, all nice cars. And then as the sun got down, started getting dark, the whole atmosphere changed. I saw Confederate flags being flown on big monster trucks. And as they started to drink more and more beer, the look that I was being looked at was letting me know I was out of pocket. The more they drank and the more that sun set, they had a sign outside of town saying, when the sun go down, N-word be out of town.
Wow. Right.
They use the judges, the prosecutors, some of the lawyers, all of those people down in Alabama, a lot of them are bred with prejudice in them, taught communism and hate, especially against other races, against Jews and a black. So when they lost, as they say, three of their good old boys got killed, somebody got to pay. This is coming out of Alabama. They not seeing it no other way. They have killed so many, hung so many black people from trees, and a lot of black people been killed in different nationalities that we just don't even know about. You do not want to be in the state of Alabama raping no white woman, molesting, robbing, or anything. A black man know what's going to happen. When that guy started shooting, when his buddy started shooting, based on the cops coming in, whether they was dirty or not, he knew what time it was. You're going to get the book thrown at you. This is not something new. It's a wonder that they didn't execute them. A lot of times they don't even take them in when officers get killed like that. They execute them on the drive to the station and say resisting. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I hate to put it this way, he was blessed to get to live this long to make it to an execution. They want to kill him then.
Yeah,
so,
already.
We talking about the states and what you can get away with stuff and what you cannot. And those, a lot of those white people, that's today's police officers and judge that's what the Klans are. They're the form of the KKK, and this is what they hide behind. The KKK never reveal their faces. They hide behind sheets and stuff. So they going to hide behind them badges. And if you're in Alabama, hey, you got Klan people, that's the captain, the lieutenant, the chief, and this and that. Oh, you in trouble. And then you killed three of their good old boys? Man, that's all I wanted to say is I hate it But it's a fact, like the brother got kneed down by them officers and for cigarettes, as you mentioned earlier. We saw them kill
right.
this man on living, cold living TV. This ain't a Rodney
right.
King beatdown. We saw them kill a man over some cigarettes. Why?
Right.
Look at where he was at. Look at the agenda. They do not care. And that's why we have to try to make everybody aware, your children, your neighbors. Just remember where you was at. Look at the black lady that got pulled over. Good lady. College educated, just at the wrong place, wrong time. Officer took in, now she hung in the jail.
Yeah.
Family
yeah.
still, family still suing and fighting over that.
That's right.
But look, look where she was at. She was in, I hate to say the word, I got found this
Texas.
Out in Texas, she was in Redneckville. And some
right.
people live by that. They still they sell redneck beer. Not talking prejudice. This is the living fact today. This is not America is not for everybody. So that's all I just want to touch on that fact. I just hate that it happened,
yeah,
but look where Alabama, that is no place for no
like
black man, especially get in no trouble.
It's like we said,
so that's
earlier,
all I want
college,
to say.
You might not have been known. But we called it. We said it was
what it
bug breaker. Bug breaking and a modern day lynching. That's exactly what it was.
It is what it is.
Yes, indeed. It is what it is.
Thank
right
you,
on, Carla. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
America, not for everybody.
It is what it is.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. We got time for one more, Carla?
We got a chance for one more. We'll probably do one more.
Okay. We're going to take one more. Yeah, sorry, this will have to be the last caller. Area code 314-616. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. No comment.
Peace. How's everybody doing?
Hey,
peace,
Carl, thanks for calling in.
Well, Carla.
Hey, I'm going to make it pretty quick. First off, you know, shout out to Bianchi, man. I can always count on him to defend white supremacy. And, you know,
right.
At what point are we going to realize that we're in a police state? And
it
white
is what it is.
Trying to make sense out of nonsense. And, you know, shout out to H. Rob Brown, Supreme Black Conscious Leader, part of the Black Panther Party. You know, Jamil Alameen, I believe is his new name, Free Him. But as it relates to this gentleman down in Alabama, I mean, why are we surprised? What I want to say to Bianchi, I know he's listening, is part of the matrix is they're going to give you isolated incidents where, you know, maybe some white people are getting hung or free or given the same type of punishment as black people, because that's how they pull you back into the illusion that we're having some type of progress, if that makes sense. But, you know, it's just sad to say, man, that, you know, until we understand where we are, who we are, what we're dealing with, this thing is not going to be changed by voting. It won't be changed by marching or any of that stuff. We have to actually be in a situation where we begin to defend ourselves. And unfortunately, in this situation, a man was executed who was, you know, innocent of a crime that he was being convicted of. But we look at, you know, states like Louisiana. They got, you know, Master P's brother, T. Murder, in there. Everybody knows he wasn't
right.
the shooter. They gave him double life. We look at the other guy that he had on his label, you know, convicted of manslaughter. He wasn't even a shooter. Gave him 30 years. So, you know, as you guys are saying, it is what it is. So, you know, I'm surprised that we still acting surprised about it.
That's right.
This kind of stuff is actually what I expect.
Yeah.
No, Carl,
that's all I have,
right? You know,
yes,
Carl, you can tell us real quick.
Yes.
How did it feel to be around a sea of black Muslims at Savior's Day 2 weeks ago?
Oh, man. You know, just the unity, man, and the organization and, you know, the women, man. I told Brother Kev, I said, man, I might have to stay here a couple more days. But, you know,
right.
I thought that the unity, man, and, you know, the minister, his presence, he's a loved individual, man. Because I saw guys the Sunni and Shiite community. I saw the Moors and people who were Christian and all that stuff, man, just came out And, you know, unfortunately, it is the last statement that you'll be speaking. And I felt blessed and privileged to be a part of that. I really wish I could have took my boys with me to be a part of that.
Yes, sir. Because I brought that up for a reason, because when you say you're tired and, you know, we all saying things need to be done about this situation, well, I always point at the nation's programming plan of how we need to move to get away from this type of situation. But that's for a whole other, you know, debate.
I was just going to say we got to have that conversation probably off air, you know, because I do question some ideologies that solutions that they come up with. I think the biggest one is not arming yourself. That has to be the most ridiculous thing that we can do, is not arm myself against people that are bearing arms, because I understand that when I'm pulled over, even if it's a routine traffic stop, I'm being met against a gunman, you know, that has the right to kill me, that he feels threatened or whatever it is, and I have no rights because, you know, what good is a right going to do you if he put a bullet to your head?
Exactly.
You might even make it to court, you know?
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All
right.
Yes,
on,
sir. We appreciate you calling. We appreciate you calling.
Yeah,
right.
he made a good point. Yes, sir. I want to make a couple quick points, too, real quick. You know, I mentioned that, you know, we didn't know what type of individual, as far as morals, that Nathaniel Woods was. But that is the same for these police officers as well. We don't know what type of police officers these were. You know, we don't know if they was crooked. We don't know if they was coming in, you know, in the wrong and just bogo doing things without following procedure or none of that. We don't know what type of individuals these police officers was. I think they get the benefit of the doubt because why? They work for the state. And we also have to keep in mind when it comes to the narrative that's presented by the media, they're going to present the narrative from the officer's point of view. Remember, the state and the media work hand in hand. So anytime there's a discrepancy in the case, they're going to take the officer's word for it. Because remember, when they do these press conferences and things, they talk to who? The police captain, to the police investigators, to internal affairs. They talk to all these people who are part of the state apparatus, and that's the narrative that they put out there. So, yeah, they go put out, you know, Nathaniel Woods was in a crack house. He was a drug dealer. He did this. He did that. He cussed the officers out when they came to the door. He did, you know, all those things are going to be from the perspective of the police officers. But, again, we don't know what type of individuals they were. We've seen time and time again crooked police officers get away with a lot of things. So, you know, we just have to keep that in mind when these stories come out. And the narrative that's put out there is typically from the point of view of the, you know, the state or the police officers, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there as well. So, yeah, I don't know if y'all want to comment on any other callers. And, you know, we're down to the last 7 minutes. What y'all want to do? Yeah, I'll say everybody called.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap mine up. All the callers called in. We made some great points on the whole situation. And I wanted to add to what Brother Kev said about the type of cops, also the type of prosecutor, the type of judge.
Exactly.
You know, that caller.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the callers made a great point of what type of place Alabama is. You know, so we got to keep that in mind. So all these people are in question. But one thing for sure, when the smoke is fire, and we smell the smoke in this situation, we definitely smell the smoke. Mm-hmm. And to tie up, my final thoughts is, if people can Google up this lady's name, her name is Millicent Williams. It's spelled M-I-L-I-C-E-N-T, Millicent. And her last name is Williams, W-I-L-I-M-S. she is a she's involved in a case right now where white police officers violated her human rights. She's a 63-year-old woman who was pulled over at a traffic stop and violated, you know. It's graphic. I don't even want to say or have time to say what she went through, but if you guys can Google her name, you'll hear about her story, where these officers pulled over and basically sexually assaulted her. And we're talking about a 63-year-old black woman, and nothing was done about it. So Google that one up.
Wow.
And that's just another story, another case of the things that are going on with the legal system, with police officers that the majority of us don't know about or don't hear about. So these things get brushed under the rug, you know? And it's horrible that people's humane and civil rights are getting violated like this. So I end my statements on that.
Yes, indeed. Real quick, I know we got about 5 minutes, but just real quick, I'm going to say my last little piece. So that's my thing, too. You know, I kind of mentioned earlier as far as, you know, getting emotionally attached to these injustices that happen to black people. So my question to the family is, you know, it's 2020. Again, it's 2020. We all should have clear vision. We know what the system is doing. You know, how are we going to adjust to the system? Like, how are we going to react to the system? Because life ain't about what happened to you. It's about how you react to what happened to you. You dig what I'm saying? So we know these things go on. So it is up to us as a collective, you feel me, collective minds as a collective, to come up with solutions to figure out how we can make those adjustments. You know, so we can get justice, so we can, you know, get some type of equity out of this situation and this society that we find ourselves in. You know what I'm saying? So that's my question. We know that these things going on. They've been going on since we've been alive. Every month, every year, a story happens where, you know, a black person has their civil rights or, you know, some type of injustice has happened to them. What are we going to do? You feel me? What can be done? You know, instead of just getting emotional and you know, getting attached to it, what can we do as a solution to these issues? You know what I'm saying? I just leave it right there. We can all ponder on that, you know, for the
maybe we can bring that up next week.
Yes, indeed.
Answer those questions, Nikki.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for calling in. Everybody did make some good points. You know, it's definitely about the characters of the individuals. You know, also the you know, we have to also look into, like, the evidence that was presented. If they didn't have any evidence to show that, you know, he was working with a guy and he was a co-conspirator, then he shouldn't have got, you know, the death penalty for that. No, but, you know, I just still like to thank everybody for calling in. This was a great topic. Continue to support us and tune in with us each and every Sunday. We look forward to talking to you guys again next Sunday, 6 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you have any show topics, ideas for us that you want us to discuss, don't hesitate to send us an email at collectivemindyahoo.com. And help everybody have a wonderful week. Peace.
Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the
the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper, who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Kids, like